The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This week on Dueling Review, Rick and Morty go to hell. From Oni Press, well, finally happened. Rick and Morty are in hell, and we don't mean the DMV. Fire, brimstone, and torture for all eternity. Typical Rick. He sees a way out of this mess and drags Morty with him on a horrific adventure to speak to the manager. So before we get into this week's show, I know all of you who went out there to patreon.com/majorspoilers and you cast your vote were expecting us to talk about Sumerian Red Nails number one from Ablaze Comics. And if you heard me introduce the comic that we're reviewing this week, you know that we absolutely are not doing Sumerian Red Nails number one from Ablaze Comics. So here's the problem with small publishers. And I'm not saying that that's a problem. I'm just saying that here's something that we run into with small publishers. Number one, a lot of them do not contact us. Or if they do, their emails are pretty poorly written, so I don't understand if they're trying to sell me something or if they've got a press release or something like that. But really, any small publisher, or any publisher really, feel free to put us on your PR list, your review list. Now, we may not always review your comics that you send us. That's the chance you got to take because we don't have a staff of thousands yet. But if we can get to it, we can. Now, Ablaze has never, ever contacted us, so that's not the problem there. But when you go into Comixology, now again, Ablaze is a very small publisher, so to be able to go to your LCS and be able to see this sitting on the stands is probably fairly slim to begin with.
Right.
So I was like, okay, there's no way we're going to get a physical copy of this, so we'll just wait. And they didn't send us a review copy, so we will wait until Wednesday, and I'll just pick up the digital copy off Comixology, comixology.com. Right. By the way, everybody, we are an affiliate with Comixology, so when you look at majorspoilers.com and you see that you can purchase this comic via Comixology, you click on that, you buy the comic if you're interested in it. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but a little bit does come back our way. Comixology owned by Amazon, so I just want to make that clear. And I thought, oh, no problem. Ablaze has a, you know, they have a publisher page on Comixology. They also have the previous Sumerian, you know, comics there. Wednesday, no problem. Wednesday comes, and we've got Critical Hit, and I wasn't even paying attention to, you know, Ablaze because I'm like, oh, well, Thursday, I'll pick it up on Thursday.
Right.
So Thursday morning, I get around to finally going over to Comixology and saying, ah, Ablaze, I got to go and get the Sumerian Red Nails number one. And I open it up, and sure enough, print release day, Sumerian number one or Sumerian Red Nails number one was this week. Mm. However, digital edition, release. June 24th.
So 2 weeks out.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now. So here's where I get a little worried and I get a little concerned because we've talked about this before. You know, the brick and mortars are very concerned, not to be confused with the Rick and Mortys, which we'll be talking about in a minute. But anyway, here's my concern. The brick and mortars have always said that they're very concerned about the digital release and the fact that if they release it on the same day as the print comic is available, it's going to hurt their business model and blah, 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 blah. Not to mention the fact that digital comics, which are worth a lot less than the $3.99 that they're putting on these books, is making the publishers a huge sum of money. But my big fear has always been, what if for some reason the LCSs think that they have the leverage to push those digital release dates back further than what you can get in the store? That would really hurt companies like Major Spoilers, because if we're not getting it from, if we're not getting a review copy from the publishers, and right now we're getting review copies from Boom and Dark Horse and DC Marvel is very questionable at this point. I'll talk about that on the next VIP live show, which is next weekend. Dynamite Entertainment, IDW Publishing, Image Comics, Archie Comics, Zenoscope when they have it, Oni Press, which is where we got Rick and Morty this week. Thank you, Oni Press, for sending us a digital review copy. And I'm trying to think, Black Mask, Lion Forge, 2000 AD, and a few others, right? But if we don't get those review copies, then we have to go and buy the copy ourselves. So if right now Marvel doesn't send us a review copy, then and we want to review a Marvel book, then we need to go to Comixology or someplace else, our local comic book shop, and pick up that copy. Now, if there was a comic shop local, probably wouldn't be a big deal. I don't have a comic book shop local. The closest one is Wichita, Kansas. Matthew doesn't have a comic shop in Topeka that he goes to. So there's no way that we could go and just pick up, casually pick up, in the middle of a pandemic, a physical copy of whatever book we need to review because a publisher did not send us a review copy. Another reason, dear publishers who might be listening to this, another reason why you should be sending us those digital copies, because if we don't review it, you know, the week of, it might come around sometime later when we review it as a trade paperback on the Major Spoilers podcast. So just some things to kind of keep in mind. And I know that's a very long-winded story to tell you why we're not reading Sumerian Red Nails number 1 from Ablaze Comics. But here's my promise to you guys, if I remember. Notice that I put that little caveat right there, Matthew.
It's always there. It's just a little asterisk.
Here is my promise to you, dear listeners, with a little asterisk, because so many of you said, and another thing I should put in here. I did reach out when I realized, oh my gosh, Ablaze is not going to release the digital today. I scrambled and went out of my way to contact them and say, dear Ablaze Comics, we were going to review your comic this week on the Dueling Review podcast. It's listened by, you know, this many people, blah, 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 blah. And it would be great if you could send us a digital review copy so we could review it this week. And I probably sent that around 11:30 this morning. Didn't hear back from him at all. Which is not, you know, in the age of COVID and small publishers and so many other things going on, that wasn't a surprise. It was a very much a late last minute request. The only companies that I've ever known that have fulfilled a last minute request like that have been Dark Horse Comics. Okay, they've been very, very good about that. And Viz Media has been very, very good about getting us something at the very last minute. So I wasn't expecting anything to come back. So I just tweeted out to Matthew, hey, dude, didn't get that comic. Instead, we're going to do the second most requested book from our favorite listeners. And you can read the tweet right there. It says that right to him, the DM. We're going to read Rick and Morty Go to Hell, number one. Now, I know, Matthew, you are not a big fan of Rick and Morty number one.
Well, not Rick and Morty number one per se. I'm not a Rick and Morty guy.
I know we've talked about that before, but why is that?
Well, I think that there are a couple of issues, I think, with the tone that get to me. First and foremost, and this is something that in the very first thing of Rick and Morty I saw, which I think was an issue that we reviewed on Dueling Review, the vomiting thing bugs me.
Yeah. Well, Rick is a drunk.
Right. But also, the ones that I've watched, there are some really good ones in there. Mm-hmm. And I watched Pickle Rick. I accidentally watched Pickle Rick entirety.
Was that your first introduction to Rick and Morty?
Yep. Pickle Rick was my first introduction. I really enjoyed Pickle Rick, but I also got to the end of Pickle Rick and was just crushed.
Yeah.
Crushed, just a butterfly smashed on the wheel, and I just could not bring myself around to it. And then, you know, I'm not saying that sometimes a fandom can color your perception of things.
Sure.
I've had some negative interactions with people who are like, yes, I'm a Rick and Morty fan,
which means
I am awesome.
Yeah, which is the superiority complex is the thing that the people that, here's the thing, I do enjoy Rick and Morty a lot. I think it's very cleverly written.
Back to the Future.
I love the setups that they get in, and I love the moral, philosophical, emotional questions that every episode brings up.
Right.
But the problem is, as you said, there is a certain set of that fandom that says, I love Rick and Morty, and you can tell because I'm just like Rick, and that makes me superior to all y'all. When the point of every episode is Rick is not a good person. Rick is the worst person.
Rick is the worst.
And that is the whole point of the show, is the writers pointing out that Rick is a horrible person. Rick is not emotionally aware. Rick doesn't know how to deal with feelings. He has intimacy issues. He has connection issues. He has family issues. He has his own loss that he has never coped with when he lost his wife. And mm-hmm. so this guy is very toxic in himself, but he comes off as very funny and very ha ha ha. Look at this guy. Look, I'm just like this guy. So therefore I must be the smartest person in the universe. And so that's where I think a lot of the turnoff in Rick and Morty comes from, is not the show itself, but not all fans, but a certain segment of fans who identify with Rick and don't understand that Rick is a troubled person that seriously needs help.
There's an undercurrent there of just unpleasantness. And I mm-hmm. feel like if you don't get that, I feel like you're missing the point of the show.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, and there's even points where Rick goes so far to do, like there was the Vat of Acid episode. I don't know if you've seen that one. That was a season. That was one of the new season ones.
I saw about first half of it. Yeah.
Oh,
when
man.
They jumped into the vat.
Yeah. Oh, you got to watch that whole thing because it is just brilliant. But the fact that Rick does all these things to prove his point, to force prove his point, even if it means the shock and horror of everyone else, he's going to do it.
Well, I'm still mad at him for murdering Vance Cosmic, so, you know.
Well, and I think that all those things is what makes this particular issue interesting, because Rick and Morty, quote unquote, go to hell. They wake up in a place of fire and brimstone, and Morty and dad and mom and the sister are all convinced that they have gone to hell. There's devils there. There's people that have died before that are there. There is horrible torture going on. And Rick is just like, religion is for idiots, which, you know, a lot of people will agree with that part. But he goes, I am the smartest person in the universe. There's no way we can be in hell. And I'm going to prove it to you by going and speaking to the manager, which is basically the setup for this entire issue. And so, I don't know, on one point, this is highly controversial when you talk to people and say, yeah, people who believe in religion are idiots. People who believe in hell are double idiots. So there's that part of this issue that is going to cause a lot of controversy. And then there is the whole, the sacrilege part, because you can't believe in heaven if you don't believe in hell. But then there is also the part of just how big-headed and pig-headed can Rick be?
Yeah.
And at what point will he realize his error and still fail to admit that he is wrong?
Yeah. I mean, he starts the issue by literally saying, I am unkillable.
Yeah.
And that's clearly not true. But yeah,
yes, there is one time when they killed their doubles, right? On the Cronenberg. I don't know if you've seen the Cronenberg episode.
Don't think I have now.
Yeah, basically they destroyed their own universe, and so they went into a parallel universe where basically everything was the same, and they killed their duplicates and buried them in the backyard so that they could continue living a quote-unquote normal existence. And multiple episodes later, they have to go to Summer and dig up the dead bodies and say, here's your real grandfather and brother. We killed them. This is the situation, and just totally freaks her out.
Oh my gosh.
No, it's, I mean,
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, I would really encourage you, Matthew, to just sit and watch. And again, I don't want to be one of those people that are like, you just don't understand it, Matthew. Because I think if you watched all the episodes, you would totally get what they're trying to do on the show. And the whole point of the show is Rick is the worst person in the world.
At the risk of sounding like Rick, there are a great many things you can accuse me of, but not understanding goofy pop culture, not on that list.
Well, and it's not even understanding pop culture, which there's a lot of it in there. It is just, you could watch it and you could say, okay, here's the point of Rick, Pickle Rick. It is that Rick is emotionally fragile and he will do anything to not have to go to therapy and share his feelings with other people that might make him feel inferior going forward. And so he turns himself into a pickle so that he can avoid therapy. And what everyone else says is, oh, my God, I'm Pickle Rick. I'm going to kill a cockroach and use its body to run around. Ah, that's so great. And they miss the point of that.
Oh, so yeah. And, you know, the episode where he kills the Vindicators.
Yes.
Obviously, the point there is making the point that superhero movies are dumb. You know, I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
actually hysterical.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just, this issue starts in a way that is very off-putting. And I think that the point is that we don't know what happened. But the fact that the entire Smith family is also dead in hell is just a little bizarre.
Oh, yeah, because Jerry, of course, is just going to blame Rick that it's all his fault, when it could really be Jerry's fault.
But when Jerry starts complaining, all the people around start to realize that they hate Rick, too.
Yeah.
So I believe that Jerry's theory that Rick may have blown up the world and made it stick, and now they're in hell, might actually be, I don't know if true is the right word, but it may actually be the thing that they expect us to believe before it all comes unraveled and goes pear-shaped at the end.
So here's the thing. I like the conversation about, is religion a crutch for some people? Is heaven and hell just made up, as Rick says in the book, by some rich guy with gout to control the masses? Or is it real? And my guess is, over the three issues, as you hit the middle of Act Two, Rick may suddenly have, or the beginning of Act Three, Rick may suddenly have this realization that, oh, maybe this is all true. Maybe this is something that I need to atone for my sins or something. And then by the time you reach the end of the third act, he'll be like, nah, belch, you know, F-bomb this, F-bomb that. But I really enjoy the conversation, even if it is going to offend a lot of people. I enjoy the conversation about, you know, is the afterlife real, or are you just, as Rick again says, are you just fodder for the worms? So I enjoy that conversation. I enjoy the fact that you see other people's reactions to being in hell and the things that might have led them there. So I enjoy that part of the issue. I enjoy that very, very much. Mm-hmm. The thing that I don't like about this issue, and again, it's not the fault of the artist, but time and time again, when I have watched an animated series, whether it be The Simpsons, whether it be Tom and Jerry, whether it be Bugs Bunny, whether it be The Jetsons, whether it be Steven Universe, whether it be Legend of Korra, when I read a comic book adaptation or a comic book based on an already existed animated property, I hate the art. And the reason is because I expect this art to be moving. I expect the art to be fluid or jerky or whatever that the art is. But when you see it in a panel and you try to convey that in a comic book in a still form, the art just really falls apart to me. And there's something about it that is very disconcerting because there's no movement in the page. And so,
yeah, that is a thing. And nobody's entirely off model necessarily.
No, they're not.
But the art style here is not full animation styling. And so there are points where, you know, they're doing some really cool stuff and I really enjoy the pencil work, but it's also not necessarily an animated thing. And even though most of what I know about Rick and Morty is that Pringles commercial, even I can tell that this is not what they look like in their home, you know, medium. And that's something that happens. I actually enjoy it when a book takes some liberties to try and adjust to the new medium. Steven Universe book is really good because they don't even try.
Yeah.
They do something that looks cool and keeps the basic designs the same. But Steven Universe also has a very fluid style from episode to episode anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick and Morty doesn't.
Well, I could never get into the Bugs Bunny cartoons because Bugs Bunny in the comic books was very much rounder and fluffier than the Bugs Bunny that you see in the cartoons. And it always was just off-putting to me. Same way with the Mickey Mouse stuff. I can enjoy
it. Mickey Mouse was always running around in a pork pie hat, and he never had that in the cartoon.
Exactly. So there's nothing wrong with the art created by the artist. I think everything in this, from the writing and the art, is very, very good. I just don't like any comic book that has been adapted into, or, you know, adapted from an animated property. It just doesn't work for me. I've said the same thing a couple of weeks ago, maybe I think it was on the Major Spoilers podcast because I had reviewed, or somebody had reviewed the Batman. Oh, Ashley had reviewed the Batman, The Adventures Continue. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't like the art in that. It just didn't look like the animated stuff. And so it was a very much a turnoff for me. But for other people, if you can get past that, and if you like Rick and Morty, then I think you'll enjoy this comic book.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing entirely wrong with it either, aside from having, intentionally an incredibly unlikable main character.
Yes.
It also has an unlikable secondary character and unlikable tertiary character. So
I know,
really,
Satan is a real dick.
It's an all around doucherema. And Jerry is like,
Jerry's always unlikable.
Right.
He's the guy that thinks he's definitely a Brad.
Right. And he's also, voiced by Chris Parnell, who does doucherema better than anybody else. I mean, he's Cyril, for God's sake. But that's also something that comes into play here, where the voices are not present.
Yes.
And hearing Justin Roiland say something in that Rick voice, they took us in our sleep.
Listen, I hear it when I stop and I actually read carefully what's being said. I can hear this in all their voices. However, your attempt at doing a Rick sounds like my attempt at doing a Rick. Here, let me find something here. That's a Rick.
Talk about real torture, Morty forms.
Yeah. I hate these PDFs because when they open in my thing, they just start scrolling and I can't get them to stop on a page that I want them to stop on. Dang it. So here I barely scrolled and it's taken me all the way to the end of the issue. You stupid PDF. Here, let me do it this way. I'll just close this and open it another way and I'll do my Rick impression.
Okay.
Here's my Rick impression. Let's see. A book rewritten by rich old kings with long pinky nails and gout. What are you doing with that pig swallow anyway? At your age, you should be reading comic books and watching porn, Marty. That's my Rick. And I know.
See, your Rick actually sounds more like Doc Brown.
No, because it should be a book rewritten at rich. There's something that's got to be done. There's something that's got to be done about your kids, Marty. Trust me. It's your kids, Marty. So yes, mine is very much like yours, very gravelly, yep. A gravelly Rick. But I don't know. I liked it. I'm going to read the other.
Like a swimming pool in here, and the floor's all moist.
Oh, gee, Rick. Oh my. I like this book, and I probably will read the next two. What are your thoughts?
I didn't hate it, and that's kind of a plus because I'm coming in with a skepticism and not necessarily a great attachment to the material. And I feel like it worked for me. It gets past the fact that in those first few pages, Rick is just a total, cluster turd. And I have to admit, the ending is pretty neat. They're like, okay, we want to see the manager. Okay, fine. Come in here. Now we're going to light you on fire. Then we're going to push you off a cliff into a pit of fire because you got to make it through seven circles of hell. Oh, sorry. Seven circles of HE double hockey sticks. Before you can talk to the manager.
Yeah.
That ending is neat. I like
that.
Yeah.
It's a really good
ending.
It's like
the commercial break.
Yeah, it really does. And that's why I think the three-issue arc follows that three-act structure very, very well.
Yep.
It doesn't. I don't know how well it follows Dan Harmon's story circle, but I bet if when all three issues are done, we could probably do the story circle and see where, you need, want, go get, take, return, change, and understand every little part of that within the story structure. So, For me, I enjoyed it. I would recommend it, especially if you're a Rick and Morty fan. But don't be surprised if, for those of you who think that you are as great as Rick, might be missing out on some of the subtext that goes on in the story. Again, how did we get here?
Well, we came down and we went through Mr. Parker's cul-de-sac.
Yeah,
then
so
we took a left.
We got here because we didn't get a digital copy, or we weren't able to obtain a copy of Ablaze Comics Cimmerian, the Cimmerian Red Nails number one. It doesn't come out until June 24th. So that promise that I started way back ago and we finally come back around to, here's the deal. On June 24th, that week's dueling review, we will do, again, if I remember, we will do Cimmerian Red Nails number one on the dueling review episode just for you. To make up for the fact that so many of you voted for that and we weren't able to get to it. Mm-hmm. Now that still leaves, what are we going to do next week Matthew?
Well, I think what we're going to do is we're going to ask all of the people listening to go to our Patreon at patreon.com/majorspoilers to find the post that says Dueling Review for June 17th, 2020.
Right.
Don't do June 17th, 2016, because we won't catch that. But June 17th, 2020, choose a book that you want us to read, and we will do everything we can to get that book, to read that book, to review it for you. Even if it makes us talk like this, Morty.
Oh, my gosh. Something's got to be done about your kids.
They must have taken us in our sleep.
Maybe next week we'll be reviewing from Boom Studios, Bill and Ted Drapery Paperback Box Set, $39.99. Perhaps it'll be Power Rangers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number 5. 5! I'm not going to be able to do the whole list that way. My voice will be wrecked for the rest of the month. Dark Horse Comics next week has Avatar The Last Airbender Imbalanced Library Edition hardcover. Looks like, if I'm looking at everything coming out from Dark Horse next week, it looks like mostly trade paperbacks. From Boom, the only single issue that they have, Firefly number 16 and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Power Ranger ones are the only single issues. DC Comics next week has Aquaman Giant number 4, Dark Knight's Metal number 1 of 6. Also, Detective Comics 475, the facsimile edition, that surprisingly, even though it's the facsimile edition, they're still going to charge you $3.99 for.
Well, sure.
Even when the original was probably, what, 75 cents?
What's that?
$4.75 when it originally came out.
$4.75?
Yeah.
For what?
Detective Comics, number 475.
I'm confused.
When that originally came out, the cover price was
60 cents.
But even though this is a reprint of that comic, they want to charge you $3.99 for it.
Wait, $4.75?
Yeah.
Oh, no, the Marshall Rogers run? That was a 35-cent book.
How much?
I'm sorry.
How much?
35 cents.
Okay, they want to charge you almost 10 times that amount.
Yeah, but it was 35 cents in 1978.
What is the eBay rating for that now? What are people asking for that comic in... 0.3 condition, 3-point condition.
Oh, I don't know. Should I check?
Yeah, you should check. As I read through Green Lantern Season 2, number 4, Hawkman, number 24, Metal Men, number 7, everybody talking about, I thought they said the Strange Adventures of Adam Strange comes out next week, but I don't see it. Metal Men, number 7 comes out. I don't see it here. Everybody I thought was all talking about it. Maybe it comes out. I don't think it's out this week. Strange Adventures number whatever 2.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so I don't see it. Maybe it comes out in 2 weeks on the 24th. But we also get Superman number 22 next week. Wonder Woman 757 next week, as well as Young Justice number 15. Has your clackety fingers figured out Detective Comics 475 yet?
Do you think that my fingers are clackety?
I don't know.
Is that what you're implying?
I know your chair is definitely squeakety.
Yeah, my chair is squeaky. I was going to get a new chair, but then I thought, no, the squeaks will drive Steven crazy. Fine, which is about a 3.0, 3.5 is running $21. There's some Schmendrick trying to get a very fine for $70. The averages are running in the $50 to $60 range.
So $3.99 for a reprint of a comic, it's probably not that bad after all.
Well, this particular comic, not bad at all, because this particular comic is amazing.
You know, no, it's actually Detective Comics 475.
Right. It's Detective 475, which, you know, in mint condition right now would go for $70.
There you go.
It's that first Engelhart Rogers thing with the laughing fish.
Oh, yeah, the laughing fish. Everybody loves a laughing fish. A laughing fish.
Everybody loves a laughing fish. A laughing fish. A laughing fish. Everybody wants a laughing fish.
Yeah.
You remember
You'll find from- yours, I know, ho, ho. Ah, ho, ho. You'll find yours, I know, ho, ho. Dynamite Entertainment
Everybody
next
wants
week.
A laughing fish?
Dynamite next week has Death Defying Devil number 5. I think you reviewed that today, didn't you?
I did.
Did you jump a week ahead?
No, it came out this week.
Why then is it listed as the 17th? That's weird.
I don't know, but I found it.
Oh, so this is the limited Virgin Edition covers that go for $50. That's why.
Red Sonja. Yeah, it's pretty solid. It's actually the end of a 5-issue arc.
Is that Gail Simone that did that?
Yeah, Simone and Giovanni, the team from Red Sonja.
Yeah. Speaking of Red Sonja, Red Sonja Age of Chaos number 4, Vampirella Red Sonja number 8. IDW Publishing next week has Crowleth number 1 and number 2. Crowleth. I think that means you don't have any crows, right? Also a lisp. Dying is Easy, number 5. Transformers, number 20. Uncle Scrooge, number 56. Image Comics has After Realm, number 2. A Man Among Ye, number 1. Gideon Falls, number 22. Ludocrats, number 2. Moonshine, number 18. And Tartarus, number 3. Marvel Comics Tartarus. Next week. Yes. Tartarus.
Tartarus?
You put it
Not
on
Tartarus.
Your fish. You put it on your fish.
Oh, okay. That makes no sense at all. Okay.
Next week, Marvel Comics is only releasing trade paperback collections and in all the rest category. Ooh, a new Asterix Omnibus Collected Edition, Volumes 1 and 2. Oh, my gosh. Ladies and gentlemen, you must. This is, if you want to get a collection of stuff, of good comics, good European comics, Asterix and Obelix, those Omnibus editions for $22 and $15 for Volumes 1 and 2, definitely worth picking up.
Yeah, and much less, how shall I say this, 50s racist than the Tintins.
Yes, less racist, but still some racism. So just be aware of that.
Yes.
Let's see. We also have Invader Zim Quarterly, number 1, Lady Zorro, number 1, Old Growth Hardcover. I don't know what that is. It's a mature reader's book for $35.
It's about trees.
Red Agent Island of Dr. Moreau, number 5. That's the final issue of that one. And also coming out next week, White Ash, number 4. That's just a little sampling of the list. Of course, you can head over to patreon.com/major spoilers and look at the complete list as it stands right now, because in about 3 weeks, that whole DC Comics section is going to disappear. We'll have to figure out another way to get the DC Comics list.
Probably from DC.
Probably. I mean, they have been pretty good about letting us know. Well, not really letting us know when things are arriving, but we do have the September solicitations coming up tomorrow, so we'll know everything that's at least coming out in September. But until then, head over to patreon.com/major spoilers. Let us know what comic you want us to review next week, and maybe on next week's episode you will hear Matthew say,
"When stupid people need a thrill, they rent the Rocketeer."
This podcast is copyright 2020 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.